Well, this morning, I want to invite you to begin a new journey. To begin a journey. Am I on here? Yeah, maybe not. Yes, I am. It's not me, it's you. To begin a new journey this morning, one that that is going to be hopefully lifelong. A new journey that's not necessarily the last new journey that you will take, but more or less it's the mentality of newness, the mentality of beginning again. This time of year, obviously, we've gone through New Year's and we've gone through the making resolutions and like I said last week, Hayden working at the GNC, it just, you know, right now, man, they're just busy. I took him lunch yesterday and boy, there was just people all over that place. GNC is normally a ghost town with the four or five people that come in there, but not yet, not this time of year. Because everybody's about to begin something great and the gyms are packed full of people and you can't buy running shoes at the mall because everybody's just determined, I'm going to start over new this year. I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to run. I'm going to take vitamins and that's great. So often as those resolutions come, they also go. And this morning I want to talk about that very thing it's okay to begin again, but don't give up on the idea that once we've began anew, once we've started this new journey, there's going to be times when we're going to have to begin it again. Because as Earl pointed out in our devotion this morning for communion, that we are flawed. We are broken and we stumble and we fall. And it's great to know that we serve a God who isn't waiting for us to stumble and fall so that he can point and laugh, so he can condemn us, so that he can say, I told you so. But he is waiting for us to stumble and fall so that he can be there to pick us up, to dust us off, to heal our wounds and to send us back on our way to begin a new journey again. And this is what we're going to talk about this week and into next week and the weeks to follow. But this is going to be our graphic, and this is going to be our kind of our charge to every day is an opportunity to begin a new journey, to start a new day, to start a new walk with God, to start a cleaner slate than it was before. So this morning, I want to ask you if you can follow along in your order of worship. I want to ask you this morning, do you want to be successful in 2013? I mean, that's something that I'm sure that every business is kind of talked about, and even here at, with the ministry that we have, we've already talked about what do we want to do? Are we going to be successful in this new year? What does it look like? What does 2013 look like for us? So the question that I'm asking is just, first of all, simple. Do you want to be successful? And I think that's a valid question to ask because so often we just take for granted that that's what we want. Of course I want to be successful. Well, do you really want to be successful? Or do you want things just to be the way that they've always been? You know, because the thing about being successful in something is to achieve or to grow in that or to accomplish things. And so often we just want things to stay the same. We just want things to be, I'm kind of comfortable here. I'm not really doing anything, but I'm not really failing at anything, but I'm not really succeeding at anything. But, I'm sort of in this comfort zone. I just sort of want to stay there. And the question that is responsible to ask is, do I really, really want to succeed at anything this year? Do I want to change anything? Do I want to move on? Do I want to grow? Or do I just want things to stay the same? Because it's easy to go through life and just let people assume that you want to accomplish things. Let people assume that you want things to be different. This isn't a question that we can answer in unison. We can't say, okay, a count of three, everybody answer, one, two, three, yes. This is a question you're going to have to wrestle with. This is a question that you're going to have to wrestle with this week. This is a question that you're going to have to decide on your own. Do I want to be successful? Do I want this year to be different than last year? Do I want this day to be different than yesterday? The reality is that God wants each one of us to be successful. God wants that for us. He doesn't want us just to have this subsistence existence. He doesn't want us to just have this same mediocre, vanilla, just like everybody. He doesn't want that for us. He wants us to succeed. The Bible is full of examples. The Scripture tell us over and over again that God wants us to succeed, that God wants us to have a better day today than we did yesterday, that He wants us to accomplish more tomorrow than we did today, as we've read in Philippians chapter 4 and 13 already, which is a passage that, that we're very familiar with. As Mark said, I mean, you can't go to if you've ever been to a youth rally, you've got a t-shirt that's got this scripture on the back of it. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And that is a verse to take comfort in when times are not as good as we want, when circumstances seem to be turning in a direction that we don't want them to go, when it seems like there is obstacle upon obstacle. It seems as though, that's a great verse to look at when times are bad because, oh, I can overcome this. But that's a great verse to look at just on an average Tuesday when we just think, maybe I need to accomplish today. God wants us to do all things. He wants us to achieve what He has in store for us. He wants us to rise above an average existence and to do more. And He says, I'm giving you Christ, as have already been pointed out. Guys, we are assured salvation. We don't have to worry about that. We can put that away on a shelf knowing, whew, done, taken care of. The one thing that I am afraid of the most, and rightfully so, because in Scripture it's talked about as the worst possible existence. The one thing that scares me the most is being separated from God for eternity. And there's a word for that, and it's called hell. And Jesus took care of that for me, and I don't have to worry about it anymore. So the one thing that scares me more than anything else I can forget about, because in Jesus Christ that is done. Really thought I'd get an amen on that. In Jesus Christ, our salvation is assured. Everett, don't let me down again. In Jesus Christ, our salvation is assured. Amen. So we can, man, put that away. I don't have to worry about that anymore. Now I am free to go out and accomplish. I am free to go out. I am inspired to go and to do, to tell and to remind and to encourage. And now I can just, because the one thing that worries me is secured in Christ. And so I can accomplish because of Christ. You see, because if it weren't for Christ, then I would be a prisoner to my fear. I'd be a prisoner to maintaining and assuring myself every day. And I would just be so internally focused on me and where I am and how am I doing and Lord, are you okay with me? And oh, I hope I don't. Is that a good step? And can I take this step over here? And whoa, what if I want to go? Is that okay, Lord? If Christ had not secured that for me, I couldn't do anything for the fear. But He says, look, guys, you can accomplish anything through Christ because you're able, because He has strengthened you, because He's given you the strength of encouragement, the strength of security, the strength of assurance. He's given you the strength of a story worth telling. Do you know people that are hurting? Do you know people whose life seems to be pointless and purposeless and they're just chasing some elusive dream that they're never going to catch, and they're always so unsatisfied? Do you know anybody who could benefit from a story of hope and security and assurance? Do you know anybody like that? You have a story to tell them. You have hope to offer them. You want to accomplish something in 2013, you can because of Christ. And in James 4 and 10, he says, look, humble yourself before God. See, God wants us to be successful. And we quote James 4 and 10 and we say, humble yourself before God. You know, and that's the title of a song, isn't it? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. That's the title of the song. We sing it over. Humble yourself, humble yourself, humble yourself. And we get, oh man, we're all about, yeah, we've got to humble ourselves. We've got to humble ourselves. And we work so hard at humbling. And sometimes we think, man, I should get a reward for this humbleness. I'm so humble, I should be. But do you know what the Bible says? That's not the only thing that verse says. It's not the only thing the song says. I think, you know what we should do in our, with the song leaders' blessing, can we get our songbooks and turn, don't do it right now, but later, it's the project. If you find a songbook, open it up and turn to humble yourself in the side of the, humble yourself in the song and cross that out. Get a Sharpie or something and just cross that out. And this is what we're going to put. The next line, because He will lift you up. He will exalt you. That's what the verse says. Humble yourself. Yeah, okay. And we fixate on that. And we worry about, well, am I humble enough? Have I humbled myself? Is this low enough? Can I go any lower? I don't know. But that's not the point of the verse. The point of that scripture is humble yourself so God can lift you up, so He can exalt you, so that He can glorify you, so that He can make you successful. The point He's trying to make is that if we rely on Christ, Philippians 4 and 13, then we will be successful, and it will be God's fault that we're successful, not ours. That's what He's talking about. So let's do, you know, later on as you go through the week and next time find a songbook, cross it out and put, instead of humble yourself, we're going to call that song, He Will Lift Us Up. So we'll say, get your songbooks out and turn to page whatever. We're going to sing, He Will Lift Us Up. Don't you like that title a whole lot better than humble yourself? Because I'm not really good all the time at managing my humility and making sure I'm humble enough. But maybe if I focus on God lifting me up instead of me lifting me up, the humility will just take care of itself. You see how that works? So not only in Philippians 4 and 13, James 4 and 10, but 1 Kings 2 and 3, God says, I want you to be successful. David's fixing to die in 1 Kings chapter 2. He's fixing to die, and he calls Solomon to him. And I love this. And if you've got your Bibles, turn over to 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 3 and follow along. And I'm going to give you my the Shana phrase version of it, the paraphrase. But basically, David calls Solomon to him, and he says, Solomon, I want you to be a man. That's what he says. He says, be a man, Solomon. Walk in the ways of the Lord. Keep His laws and His decrees. Do what the Lord says. Walk in His light. That's what He tells us. He says, walk in the light of the Lord. Do all of these things according to what God has said, so that everything you do will be successful. He says, so you will prosper in all that you do. You ever know anybody that just knows how to get stuff done? I mean, just every time you go to them for advice, they give you great advice. And every time you take their advice and you know, maybe you've got a situation in a relationship where, maybe your wife or your husband, they're not responding to the way you want, or maybe things are friction, whatever. And you go to somebody and you say, this is what I've got going on. How would you handle this? And that person gives you advice, and it's always great. And it always works perfectly. And whenever you take their advice and you say this or that to your husband or your wife, it just seems to work out. And every time you don't take their advice and you don't say that, then it just, you know, adds insult to injury. I've got people like that in my life. Bill and I talk about marriage all the time. Because I go to him, I said, you know, Bill, we talk about parenting. You know, He has saved my children from so many tongue lashings, it's not even funny. Well, that's a little funny. But, you know, there's people that you just go to and you ask advice about things. And you go, you know, I talk to Bob Hayes about stuff all the time. Well, not all the time, but every time we talk, I seem to get great advice from him. And, you know, think about that. We think about, do what God tells you to do. Follow His laws. Do His rules. You know, follow this, do that, And we think, okay, well, I've got to do all these rules, and if he don't get it right, then he's gonna send me to the bad place, and everything's gonna be bad, and so I just got to focus on. That's not what the Bible's telling us. It's saying follow God's decrees because His decrees are really good, and His laws are really good, and His advice is really good, and you can follow it or not. When I talk to Bob or Bill, I can follow it or not. Do it or not. I remember standing in my driveway, with a wadded up truck next to me, and I'm just, writhing, and then Bob's like, you know what? It's not that big a deal. All of a sudden, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take that advice. And I'm not going to go in there, and I'm not going to kill that child. I'm going to make him think I'm going to for a little while because that's fun for me. But no, I'm not going to. You know what? And life was so much better. I think my child learned so much more when I followed the advice of someone smarter than me. And my relationship is so much better when I followed the advice of someone smarter than me. See, that's what God's saying. He's like, look, if you just follow my advice, because I'm smarter than you. If you follow my advice, everything you touch will prosper. Everything you touch will prosper. See, God wants us to prosper. He wants us to have good relationships. He wants us to have blessings in this life. He doesn't necessarily want us to own a bunch of stuff, but He wants us to be a conduit of His grace. And if we can follow His advice, then He says that the stuff you do own will be a blessing and not a curse. God wants us to be successful and not follow His laws and His rules and humble ourselves and all this just because He says, oh, you better do this and I'm keeping score. And if you don't, you're going to have trouble. And if you do, then I'm going to maybe throw you a bone now and then. He's saying, follow this advice. And it's because it's the right way, because it works. See, God says, look, I know how relationships work. I know how people work. So if you treat one another the way I tell you to treat one another, then it's going to provoke relationships out of you that are going to be blessings. And there's going to be hard times. There's going to be good times, but you're going to get through both of those because I know people. God says, look, I know people. I made all of them. So treat each other this way and it'll be so much better. So you ask yourself, do I want to be successful in 2013? Let me give you a couple of things. And this is just common sense stuff. It's, from research of, how to do this at work and how to win friends and influence people. And, I love John Maxwell. I've read almost every book he's ever written. And I don't want to say every because there's so many. It's like Max Lucado. I don't even know how many books he's written. But I love John Maxwell. I love reading, people that know how to succeed and know what it looks like to have relationships and to encourage and inspire people. So a lot of this is going to be, this is what works. You want to be successful. And I'm not talking about in at work or at school. I'm talking about here in this place, in ministry. Because that's the most important thing that any of us do, is ministry. Jesus said, what good is it if a man gains a whole world and loses his own soul? And so we think, oh man, I don't want to lose my own soul. But you haven't. If you're here this morning, chances are, most likely, your soul is fine. But He's telling us that because we know people every single day that are losing their soul. Oh, they're gaining the world. They're piling up stuff. They've got cars and jobs and careers and degrees that can fill up a wall, but they're losing their soul. And we have this story to tell them, this hope to give them. And He's saying, go out and tell them this. So your ministry, not your job, not your retirement plan, none of that is as important as your ministry. You, me, reaching out to people, bringing them into the hope, into the light, into the walk with Christ. That is what we should want to be successful in 2013. So this morning I want to encourage you. First thing is set a goal. You ever set ministry goals? I know that we have ministry goals for the congregation. The elders and I have sat down and they've given, we've talked about goals, Rest assured, the preacher has goals But the problem is that in church in America, so often the preacher's the only one that's supposed to. And I want to tell you this morning, you need ministry goals. Because I'm not the only one in ministry. I'm the only one who's paid to come and encourage and to try to light a fire under and try to inspire and to teach and to train and all that. But do you have ministry goals? Because you need them. There are people who are in the body of Christ, who have been in the body of Christ for decades, who have never once set a goal in ministry to say, I am going to accomplish this for you this year, God. How about I'm going to accomplish this for you today? Never know. There's people who have been Christians forever that have never once put their feet on the floor and said, today, this is the day that God has given me, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. God, what do you want me to do today? And it's time for us to set goals. It's time for us to sit down. And I'm not saying, okay, before you leave, you've got to have this. No. Pray about it this week. Fast over it. Study over it. Get on your knees and say, Lord, please prick my heart, break my heart open and say, what direction do you want me to go in this year, Lord? And give me a ministry goal. Because you can't do anything until you decide, what do you want to accomplish? The elders have said, Shane, we want to baptize people this year. This congregation traditionally baptizes people every year. A couple of years ago, we had a lot. Last year, we had some. This year, we have a specific number in mind. Not because when we get there, we can just say, woo, but you know what? We want to be accountable before the Lord. God, this is what we have established, and we want to be accountable before you. And that's part of it, is setting a goal and saying, we want to be accountable before the Lord, so we can't just get to November of 2013 and say, well, you know, I guess it's been a pretty decent year. You know, the building didn't burn down, and, you know, we didn't run off more than we kept. And it's a pretty decent year. No, we want to be accountable before the Lord and say, we have set out to accomplish for you and your kingdom. What do you want to accomplish? I'll tell you this, the goals that are set, I'm not going to be able to bring all of those people and baptize them. It's going to be a group effort. There's going to be people that you know that needed a relationship with the Lord, and you're going to have to plant a seed, and we're going to have to water that, and then we get to watch God bring the increase. But have you set a goal? Do you have any goal this year for your ministry? The next thing is to make a plan. You see, a goal without a plan, you know what that is? That's a wish. A goal without, this is how I'm going to go about doing it, that's a wish. How are you going to accomplish what you've set out to accomplish when you've prayed and fasted and studied and asked the Lord and said, God, please put something on my heart. What do you want me to accomplish specifically for your ministry, for your kingdom? And then once he does that, then take another week, take another couple of days and fast over that and write things down and take notes and highlight and all that and say, this is how I'm going to get it done. Every other aspect of your life, I guarantee you, you approach with at least a modicum of that kind of determination. How are you going to do it? Are you just going to wake up and hope that you know, maybe at Walmart I'll run into somebody who just happens to say, you know what? Hey, Dwayne, I want to be baptized. No. Maybe it's somebody at work. You're going to show up at work and they're going to say, hey, I tell you what, Mark, you know, you're a good guy, right? You go to church, you do? Okay, because I've been thinking and I really would like to study the Bible. And would you please study with me? And then possibly a couple of weeks baptize me? It's not going to work that way. You think somebody's going to come up to you and say, you know, I'm really hurting in my life and I need some hope and you seem to have some. Can I have some of yours? No, you're going to have to have your antenna up, your radar fixed, and say, get into people's lives and kind of make a plan about this and how, you know, I'm going to talk to this many people in a day and try to form relationships. I'm going to try to form a relationship with this, you know, they seem like there's something, and I'm going to form a relationship with them somehow. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to get into their, what's your plan? How are you going to accomplish what you want to accomplish? And the last thing I want to say is just win. And then be successful. And the only way we can do that is to understand what's important now. Every day, wake up and say, God, what's important now? What do I need to be doing right now? You know what this is? This is discipline in the moment. And I'm telling you, I struggle in this. But what is my goal? What is my plan? And what can I be doing right now to accomplish that? What can I be doing? Is this a waste of my time, a waste of the time that Acts 17 would say that God specifically gave you for His glory? Are we cashing that in, or are we just throwing it away? What am I doing right now to the glory of God? You could say, well, Shane, I gotta spend every minute of every day focused on God? You get to, and it's wonderful. It's the best life you could ever have. And if you don't believe me that spending every moment of every day focused on what God wants you to do, if you don't believe that that's a better existence than you've ever experienced, then I promise you, you've never done it. Because it's, like you said, you'll prosper in everything you do. Do you want to be successful in 2013? I have one question. I'm going to put it all up on the board and just kind of read it with me. Have you ever approached your relationship with God and your ministry in His kingdom with the same focus and determination as you do with the rest of your life? Do you ever approach your ministry, your relationship with God? I mean, been a Christian for 15 minutes or 50 years. Have you ever given God and your ministry and your approach to your relationship with Him the same determination, the same work ethic, the same consideration that we do with everything else, that we do with our families, that we do with our work, with school, with our hobbies, with all of the things that we do? Do we practice our godliness like we practice football? Do we watch what we say and what we do like we watch TV? Do we ever just pour over? Do we spend just weeks at a time alone with God like we take a vacation with our family? Do you know how many times, guys, I have a family. I have four kids. I know some, people, I know, we hear about them. I have four kids, a beautiful wife. I have a family. I get it. But do you know how many times I hear, hey, I'm not going to be able to make that. I'm not going to be able to do that. Because this is a ministry that doesn't just happen, but people's lives are affected by what goes on here. You know how many times, I'm not going to be able, we're just going to have a family day. Okay. Heard that today. I know I was going to do some work. I was going to do that, but we're just going to spend time with the family. Guys, I get it. I love my family too. But Jesus said, unless you prefer me over anything else this earth has to offer, unless you prefer me over your family, your wife, your mom, your dad, your grandma, unless you prefer me over anything, then you don't know me. Because I love my family. And so you know what I try to do? Is I bring them on this journey with me. I bring them on this new beginning, this new journey with me as often as I can. And I'm not saying that we've got to, it's not all, I mean, please don't get me wrong. This is not a legalistic thing. I'm just, do you focus on your relationship with God and your ministry like we do other aspects of our life? If you do, praise God and you will be successful. If you don't, praise God that He has pointed that out and you can begin a new journey. This is a year, this can be a year of newness, a year of change, a year of growth, a year of accomplishment in the kingdom. Will it be another year of adding to the financial pile, or will it be a year of breaking down the gates of hell and redeeming hopeless lives back to God? It's our choice. Sign out front says 2013 will be the year that we determine it to be. What'll it be? If you need to make a change, if you want to start a new beginning, a new journey, you can do that. This morning, if you need prayers, if you want to be restored to a working relationship, if you want to commit more to God, if you want the prayers of this church, if you want to begin that journey and say, I need to confess Christ, I want to be baptized, we can do that this morning. The baptistry is ready. We've got clothes, we've got towels, whatever you need. If you need to start that journey today, join me up front as together we stand and as we sing.